Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, next man up, 102.5 The Game. It is a TD Thursday. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is 10 a.m. on a Thursday, which means it is your chance to talk to TD. Get your questions in, 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone lines driven by Wilson County Hyundai. We start by going to the text line. Got lots of good questions on here. Let's start with Santa in Portland. TD, he asks, is there anyone on the new coaching staff that worries you? Anyone that you might seem unproven, I guess, is the word that he puts in there.
I would say Shea Tierney. I mean, I don't know much about him. Apparently, he's the guy that's been kind of earmarked to be the next in line if Dabo leaves. So the question that I would have would be like, what puts him in that place?
Yeah, good question.
So that's more or less, it's not necessarily a doubt as much as it's a, okay, tell me why. I want to understand why.
Dable also brought up Luke Stocker yesterday in his press conference.
Coach,
I wonder if maybe he is one of those guys on the fast track to being an offensive coordinator at some point.
He brought up Randy Jordan, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He said, I told Randy Jordan I would say, I took this job specifically because of Randy Jordan.
Yeah.
go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
Joey from Bellevue asks, and I really like this question. TD, how do you compare Arvel Reese, Reuben Bain, and David Bailey to Abdul Carter as prospects?
I honestly think Reese is more similar to Abdul Carter. They both have that same, like, stout, like, everything. I don't think there's a hole in either of their games.
Yeah.
They're both very athletic, sudden, good with their hands, very aware. And they have the most experience playing off ball. So I would say Reese easily. I don't think Bain and Carter are any alike. I don't think Bailey is either.
Yeah.
Bain, to me, you know, I think in terms of current players, I think Brandon Graham. I've seen Melvin Ingram comp, which was Emory Hunt from Football Game Plan.
We said Terrell Suggs.
Terrell Suggs also. And the Suggs one is interesting because their measurables are very similar. But, yeah, Bailey, I see Bruce Irvin 1,000%.
If Abdul Carter was coming out in this draft, how would you rank him among those three that are in this year's class?
I'd probably put him top.
You think Carter would be above all three?
Yeah.
He's
a force, man.
He didn't have the production that you would want in his rookie season. Like, he didn't get sacks, but he made an impact on the field.
He was pressuring the quarterback, man.
I probably would be with you. I think Carter is probably a tick above those three, but like, it's not exactly like there's not a wide gap between any of those four, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like, they're all good players.
Yeah. I did that little look in the air, shake my head, because I had kind of like a flashback. I remember Denard really liked
Abdul Carter.
Abdul Carter. So now he's getting to work with him. Denard Wilson, that is. So
That is true. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Tommy on the text line says, TD, am I the only one who thinks we're not that far behind? We had a lot of close games with good teams, including the champs. That or just let games get away in the second half? I guess the question here is, how close do you think the Titans are to contending again?
With all the things, all the armory they have in store, I think they could very well add some pieces and contend for the playoffs.
Yes. Yeah.
Not much more than that.
They need to make the right moves personnel-wise this offseason. But you're right, with the cap space that they have, with the draft picks that they have, with some of the young pieces, you can see a world where this team is in the hunt for a playoff spot this year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say getting to the playoffs is likely, but it's definitely not impossible.
Yeah, you could see them getting to a respectable position, you know what I mean?
3996 asks, Gus Bradley said that that he wants a 1-2 down end and then someone who can line up at DT and the other side a straight rusher. is it fair to say that Femi is the straight rusher and you draft the other guy with Reuben Bain?
I think it's fair to say Femi and Jalen Harrell will give you the rotational pieces that you need. You just got to draft the front-end guy now. And I think that could be Bain, that could be Bailey, that could be multiple players. Bain, Bailey, Reese. It could be, you know, they trade back and they cash is how. It could be, you know, yeah, a lot of guys. They could do a lot of different things with it. But long story short, I think Femi does give them one of the pieces that they want.
I think Femi is a guy that you have hopes is going to take that step. Again, they drafted him off the raw talent and traits. He hadn't played on the outside very much, but they looked at the body type, the skills that he had, and said, we can develop him into a good pass rusher in this league.
Mm-hmm.
He only played in 6 games. He got hurt in the Raiders game. So he didn't really get much of an opportunity his rookie year. I'm excited to see it. I will say, though, I think the Titans probably do end up drafting a pass rusher at 4. That's going to be one of your starters. I think they do have to go out there and find somebody who can at the very least start the season for you on the edge, and then you hope that eventually Femi is good enough to displace him by the end of the season.
Yeah, and that's really what you want to see. And again, I mean, you have a rotation. I mean, you look at the good teams. They've had rotations of guys that they could to get in there to go after the passer. I mean, look at the Seahawks. You know, that interior D-tackle rotation is ridiculous. You know, with Byron Murphy and Leonard Williams and,
yeah,
you know, all of those guys. And you look at the Eagles, I mean, they had, you know, Jordan Davis and Carter and,
right,
and Brandon Graham and, I mean, so many guys.
Fletcher Cox. You know,
Fletcher. Fletcher in 2017.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing, and I hate to go off on it.
No, all good.
Sidebar. Fletch is one of the best D-tackles I've seen, man. He's one of the first ones I remember tracking down receivers down the field. I'll never forget. It was like week 7 against the Steelers, 2016. And Antonio Brown caught a screen on the right-hand side. And he's running down the field. Fletch went and got him like 10, 15 yards down the field. And I couldn't believe it. I've seen Jeffrey Simmons.
Jeffrey Simmons has done that a couple times,
Terry McLaughlin. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's a random note, but I've always admired Fletcher Cox and his game, man.
Fletcher Cox, definitely one of the more underrated defensive tackles mm-hmm. of the last 15 years. I think you can look in there. Some of those guys do fall through the cracks, right? Like, you look and say, that's a really good player, doesn't get the flowers he deserves. Grady Jarrett on the Falcons is another guy who probably deserved more love. Gerald McCoy on the Bucks. Mm. I know that he's worked his way into the media. He's on NFL Network now, so he's a little more visible. But he was dominant for a couple of years there on bad teams. Yeah. So I think that's kind of the life of a defensive tackle. If you're really good on a bad team, and Jeffrey Simmons has lived that the last couple of years, mm-hmm. you maybe don't get the love that you quite deserve. Ryan in Florida has texted in. He asks, if you were GM TD, would you trade Will Levis to the Giants for Jameis Winston in a 7th-round pick?
Well, I believe Jameis is going to be a free agent.
I think he was a 2-year deal.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not 100% sure, but
I wouldn't. Levis, you get Jameis in what?
7th.
I think you could get more than that by way of trading him to the Rams. It was a 2-year contract.
Yes. It's 1 year, $5 million this year.
Yeah, well, they could save a bunch of.
I don't think anything is guaranteed. Yeah. $2.5 million in dead cap, they'd save half the money if they cut him. So I guess it just depends on, does John Harbaugh want Jameis Winston to be backing up Jackson Dart?
Yeah.
Which is an interesting question.
I don't know. Hopefully that is something that could happen. I would love to see Jameis.
I know you would love Jameis here.
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I wouldn't trade Levis for that if they bumped it up to like a 5th. You know, I would do that.
Yeah.
For sure. But I would be on the phone with the Rams. And then you got to see how this quarterback shuffle falls out. You know
yeah.
what I mean? There's an abundance of teams that need quarterbacks. There's not a whole bunch of options in the draft. So, you know.
It's going to be interesting. And we'll have a conversation about some of those quarterback chairs coming up later on in this hour. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Again, it's your chance to talk to TD. 615-737-1025. Text or call with questions for Teron. We've got more on the text line. We will get to them coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 1025 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. What do we think
say,
on this one,
girl,
TD?
You're so sweet. Whenever I'm with you.
You can, the smile on TD's face when he starts to hear the music coming back always always is great. You know Parker's played a good one.
This is I was a little young kid talking about I need love. What I know about needing love, but I sure used to sing this song. I ain't going to hold you on that. This was... I would say 85, 86 LL. This was on the album I'm Bad, which was, oh, man, that LL album, cassette tape. This was before the cassette tapes were clear, right? And I remember seeing the first clear cassette tape and going crazy, but this one was like a matted white color. I remember the no one... If you're under 40, like you don't know the excitement that you get from going to the record store. You pull the cassette out. It got the big case on it because too many people were pocketing it. And they would take it out of the thing, give it to you. And I just remember, like, you unwrap it. You open it up. You pull the flap out and you just read all the credits and see, oh, man, it's a great feeling. A great feeling. I used to love buying cassette tapes, man. It's so much like now, you know, like the J. Cole. I was like, hey man, I want to hear the J. Cole, and just downloaded it.
Right.
J.
Yeah.
Cole was at TSU, by the way.
I heard
he
that.
He
yeah.
filmed a video. But
it's funny. He was at Memorial a couple last year,
really?
Just shooting around in the practice gym at Vanderbilt.
Wow, that's crazy. Everybody loves Nashville, man. But yeah, like that. That just took me back to a time period where I loved it, man. Just. Because I love music, right?
Right.
Just the feeling of knowing you're about to get a new taste of some music, you know, that you don't have to wait until it plays on the radio to listen to. You could just, boom, put it in there in your cassette tape.
I got to say, I'm not so young that I only grew up with digital music. Like, I remember as a kid, we'd go to, like, Target and get CDs. So I was at least that. I was, you know, I can't relate to the cassette tape experience. But I at least understand that, like, it didn't all used to be at the tap of a finger that you could get any music you want.
Yep.
It is your chance to talk to TD. Back to some questions here. We got people on the phone lines. We got you on the text lines. We will try and get to all of you. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Qued is on the line. Qued, thanks for calling. And what you got for TD?
Yeah, what's up, man? It's Quiz Cantrell, Nashville recording artist. And actually, I'm watching the show, and the shirt that TD has on is my merch. I know that he got it from Sauce over at Press Man Coverage. So yeah. I just wanted to actually shout him out for wearing the merch on the show, man. I'm appreciative, and I would love to get you some more merch, man. It's all Nashville-based, Nine-based, you know. And I love the show and love what you guys do. So I appreciate you wearing that on the show, man.
Yeah, no doubt, good brother. Definitely. DM me. DM me, I'll shoot you my number, and we'll get all that taken care of. I'll rep your gear all the time. I'll buy gear, too. I'm not asking you to give it to me for free. I support local business, you know what I mean? Support young, good brothers like yourself doing good things, man.
Man, I appreciate that, man. Much love, bro. I'll shoot you that DM, actually.
All right, for sure. Actually, you know what? You could just get my number from Parker. You get it from my quarterback, my producer. That's my quarterback.
All right, cool, man. Much love. Appreciate all right,
that's awesome. Sure. Appreciate you calling in. That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I didn't realize you had the merch on there.
I always, like, I...
You rep a lot of different things on the show, yeah.
Yeah, I always do, you know, so...
What was it last week? It was like a sports apparel brand. I can't remember what it was.
I don't
know. I'm blanking on it. I'll have to look back through the stream.
Was it
McCray?
Was it McCray?
Yes, that's what it was.
I got it right here. That's my best friend's agency. You know what I mean? McCray.
There you go.
Right here. I'm going to rep your stuff, man. Like MCD, my guy. By the way, we got a live show. March 11th.
I saw that.
Yeah, at Chicago Chicken and Waffles. We got local artists A West and MCD, Tennessee Pimpin. That's MCD.
Yeah, we've played that on the show a lot.
We've played it. That's right. And we're going to get that's going to play at the new Nissan Stadium too. It should play at Nissan Stadium this season. That's something else that we're working on. But however, we got a live show that we're going to do talking with TD. I'm working on getting some of the one or two of the Titans there too.
Love it.
Make sure you come out, show your love. 8 o'clock. The kitchen closes at 9, so you know, get in early, get
there
food
quick,
and
get
everything.
Your food.
So you decide to do a live show when I stop producing it. Is that what I'm hearing?
We finally sold it. You know,
that's
what I mean?
Crazy.
I had been working and working and working to get it done, and yeah. But you could always come, you know. And
I'm in.
You said March 11th?
March 11th.
Awesome.
Yeah, Chicago Chicken and Waffle.
Awesome. That'll be great. Let's go back to our phone lines. Josh has called in. Josh, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Josh, what's up,
doing
man?
Great.
Hey, so quick question. So out of all of the edge rushers being drafted, what's more reminds you more of Javon Cooks?
Ooh. Josh, I love the question, but
he was called the freak for a reason.
That's tough. Yeah, that's tough. I can't say any of them remind me of Javon Curse. You know, Javon Curse is a guy that was just completely different. I don't think – you know how they say generational talent and that word gets tossed around a lot?
Yeah.
That word wasn't tossed around when they put it on Javon Curse.
Right,
man. Right.
No, that is a that is one of those where it's like you can't really find a comparison and say that guy's like Javon Curse. It's like
– But, Josh, if you want to know my favorite of all the pass rushers, and this is after going back and watching at least three games of each of them, my favorite is Cassius Howell.
Oh, okay.
But David Bailey is just steadily growing on me because you watch this guy, he has the full arsenal. That dude, I know there are some questions about his bend, but I was watching last night, and I actually saw him bend pretty well and go and swipe down the quarterback, swipe his legs with one hand. But you watch him, the get off coming outside is ridiculous,
yeah.
Right? But then on top of that, he has a bull rush too. Watch the Arizona State game. He was bull rushing the dog mess out of that tackle, that left tackle, and the right one for that matter. But then on top of that, his hands are good. Bain probably has better hands than him.
Yeah.
Reese is more athletic, but Bailey to me is kind of like a combination.
Right.
But then you also look at, he gets that outside rush and spins back inside, and it's ridiculous. And then the fact, I love that he just goes out there. So if you say like Javon Curse, here you go, one thing, like go out there raw dog.
No gloves.
Just raw diggity. You know what I mean? Goes out there that way, and it just, hey, I love it. I think Bailey is a player to watch. Again, he's situational, but, you know, nobody compares to Javon Curse, though.
Yeah, we've talked about it with those three pass rushers. They are so different, and it's like if you want traits, you go with Reese. If you want production, you go with Bain. It's like, if you want best of both worlds, it might be David Bailey.
Yeah, and Bailey has production himself.
Yeah, you Bailey, I mean? He led the FBS in sacks.
Yeah, so it's, hey.
I have been slacking on actually getting back and watching the film on these guys. I'm usually pretty good at it, but with basketball season going on, haven't gotten to it. I mean, we got time until April.
You calling games for one of the best teams in the nation, you know what I mean?
I will get to watching actual game film of some of them. I think I've watched a little bit of Bain. I've not gotten to Bailey and Reese yet. Let's see. Back to the text line. Trevor texted in. This is an interesting one. He says, I believe the other day I saw somewhere on Twitter the Ravens may let Tyler Linderbaum hit free agency. Mm-hmm. Would you consider cutting Lloyd Cushenberry to go after a younger center?
I've seen this mentioned, and it is something to consider. I just, you know, my thing is, where is Cushenberry as far as returning from the Achilles? Because throughout the year talking to him, you know, there were different things where he said, like, you know, it's kind of bothering him, but he's working through it, etc. I'm trying to find the dead. So his cap hit is 12.5. Man, Sports Track, they got this like quirky setup now where you can't really see the whole screen.
If they cut him, it would be.
So
you'd save $3 million.
I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah,
and then you look at Linderbaum's contract. you know, I probably would just stay put. Corey Levin has to be back as a backup at the very least, but also give you options at both guard spots. So that's the way I look at it. So actually, to answer your question, no, I wouldn't, just because I don't see the reasoning to $3 million you're saving, and then you're going to tack that on to
right.
Yeah, it's, I don't do that. $9 million on to the other.
Yeah, the $9 million in dead cap plus what you'd be paying. Like, you already gave Lloyd Cushenberry the richest contract for a center in history, right, when you signed him. I'd guess Linderbaum probably gets that too. So you'd have to spend a lot of money. 615-737-1025. Again, your chance to talk to TD here. 6820. Good question here. How much say do you think Robert Saleh will have in the draft process?
That is a good question. I think he's going to have a lot of influence on it, and I think he has to, because you got a team that's gone from years, like over a decade of 3-4 looks to now going 4-3. Now, you do have hybrid guys that could do that, and, of course, you're running a lot of sub-package.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go 4-2-5. You may even go, you know, three down linemen at times with a super sub package, you know, and dime, et cetera. But I think when you have a new coach coming in, and as monumental as this hire is, you want to make sure you allow him to bring guys of his flavor.
Right.
Those fast and violent guys, they need to be Titans, right? And so you look at, you know, your David Bellies, your Viral Reese's. But even, like, down the line, you got to look at some of those other – Harold Perkins from LSU.
Yeah.
You know, those types of players to help influx that mindset, that attitude. And I think – I know the question was about the draft, but I think free agent-wise, he needs to be able to have a huge impact too, because he knows guys – you know, who have the same mindset and have that energy, that vibe that he wants. And it's something that he's trying to filter into the locker room, right? Because you look at Vrabel, right? You know, obviously Vrabel, Saleh, two different guys. They had 31 new players on
right.
the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And it wasn't a coincidence. Like Jack Gibbons, Otis Reese, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Robert Spillane.
Yep.
All these types of guys who are Vrabel guys that got put into the scheme.
Yeah, and we heard specifically from Brian Daboll and Gus Bradley yesterday saying that they've been having meetings with Mike Borgonzi, meetings with scouts, telling them, showing them tape of this is what we want our cornerbacks to play like. This is what we want from our wide receivers. So you can tell that the coaching staff, at the very least, is having some say in the types of players that the front office is going to go after this offseason. So good question there from 6820. We got more. So it seems like every other week we have to extend Talk to TD. We'll do that here. We've still got some questions on the text line. Last call if you want to get anything in for TD. 615-737-1025. We will do one more segment of Talk to TD on the other side. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
I'm not internationally known.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game.
What? Yeah.
This might be your best work yet today, Parker.
Yeah, that Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock. They used to have a part that and Easy Rock, he'd do the dance. He'd be like this. And he'd lift his leg up.
Man, if you're watching the live stream, you're in for a treat.
The people on the listening on the radio in their cars and the people watching the stream are having completely different experiences right now.
That used to be the, you got rock to that, man. That was 1988 right there. 1988, man. So you took me to 87, to 80. I was 12 years old, man.
We're going to 89 next.
Yeah, there you go. He's just working his way through the years.
Oh, shoot, 89, so you must be about to bring out some P.E., some Public Enemy. We'll see what happens.
No spoilers.
But you see what music does, man? You see what music could do?
This is the beauty of TD Thursdays. We play great music, and we talk a lot of football.
Talk shop.
We extended Talk to TD here, so if you have any questions for TD, we'll try and get to all of them here by the end of the segment. But TD, you brought something up during the break about where the Titans possibly could have and maybe should have gone with the way they formatted their offensive coaching staff.
Yeah, you asked me about a coach that I have maybe a question about.
Right.
It was Shea Tierney, and that's no offense to Shea Tierney. I just don't know about him.
Yeah.
And I believe that he's the guy that they kind of look at to say, hey, you know, you're the successor Greg Lewis is on the staff, by the way, just saying, you know, he spent a lot of time with Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, et cetera. And one of the guys that he was with in Baltimore was T. Martin.
Yeah.
And I think when you look at T. Martin and you look at his career, obviously Tennessee, you know, Knoxville's finest. They got a daggone street named after him. he was Lamar Jackson's quarterback's coach. But he also worked with the receivers before Greg Lewis got there.
Yeah.
And, again, Lamar Jackson's quarterback coach. You saw Lamar really elevate his game. He had one of the best seasons ever by a quarterback
right.
a couple years ago. I am amazed that T. Martin is unemployed right now.
Yeah.
To me, he would have been the perfect QB coach for Cam Ward because, again, there's a similarity as far as style of play.
Yeah.
He played in the league, albeit not a long time, but he spent time in the league. He's worked with a really good quarterback in Lamar Jackson and helped him improve. He would be perfect for Cam Ward. And also, and this is something I remember talking to some of the people on the Titans staff before about with Cam Ward and a backup quarterback. There's value in culture, right?
Yeah.
And being able to relate and know. Brian Daboll, he talked about seeing the game through the lens of the quarterback.
Yep.
You also, because this is a relationship-based business, if you could see life through the lens of the man, that's only going to help you see it through the lens of the quarterback.
Right.
And I think T. Martin would have been perfect for that. But that's also why you'll hear me pounding the table for Jameis Winston.
I was about
being
to say
the backup quarterback because there
he's
is a degree
right now
of having lived it in Jameis's case and just having gone through. There's I'm trying to think how to not get too. there's a stigma, a struggle of fraternity that comes with being a black quarterback, and I think T. Martin having done that in college as well as in the league, I think that would really be a good thing for Cam Ward. And again, like I'm not saying, hey, Shea Tierney, you don't deserve the job because you deserve the job. You've worked with Daboll
yeah.
in multiple spots. I understand it's a relationship business, and Daboll went with what he knows. I just wish T. Martin would have gotten an opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, and that's fair. And totally understand the idea of, like, T. Martin gone through similar experiences as Cam Ward. Obviously wasn't number one pick and wasn't the quite the NFL quarterback as he was in college. But I agree, Jameis Winston coming in, that's a guy who has been the number one pick before and has all that weight on his shoulders. I think Cam Ward might be able to learn a lot from him, even with some of the goofiness that comes with Jameis Winston as
yeah,
well.
No doubt. A lot of goofiness.
Looking back at the text line here, a couple more questions. This one, we've touched on it a little bit, but Belvis from Houston, Texan, and I guess just in general, TD, how would you attack this offseason to make the Titans relevant again?
Well, I'm going to impact pass rusher at four. I think really it's just, you know, the bottom line is just I would add players that could change games.
Yeah.
And I think in the first two picks, you could do that. In free agency, you could do that. So there's potential to add three guys that are game changers, right? And I think when you look at the second round, you know, depending on how everything falls, you could still add a game-changing receiver at the second round. But or cornerback, you know, because you look at, you know, like, Ohio State, they even got David Igbison, or I forget how to pronounce
yeah,
his
yeah.
name. He's one that you could go for that I think is a solid cover corner.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of things. So, bottom line, I'm adding three impact players at a minimum, you know what I mean, game changers, and then continuing to stock the roster.
Corey Curtis texted in on my personal text line. He asks, you both work with Corey Curtis. Is he as awesome as he seems?
He's all right.
Corey's fun to have.
I've worked with better.
I've worked with better. You know that Julian Minimison? I like him a little bit better than Corey, but you know he's kind of like his understudy. But he's you know, not Corey. I'm kidding, man.
Love Corey.
You know I enjoy. We've been working together. I've worked with Corey now for 7 years.
Yeah,
7 years. Yep.
Yeah, Corey said he'd have to ask the important questions during talk to TD.
Yeah.
Uh, I wanted to get to this coming up, and I think we've hit most of the big questions on the text line. So appreciate everybody texting and calling during Talk to TD. Always great stuff from all of you. There's been a discussion this week, TD, and I wanted to get your thoughts specifically on this because I feel like you have a good feel of how the Titans can build this roster and what might be possible, what's realistic. There's been a discussion, and I'm not advocating for it, but I think it is something the Titans could at least kick the tires on. The Dolphins trying to get rid of Tua Tagovailoa. And we saw the precedent set for this with Brock Osweiler back in 2017 of basically a team trading a pick to get off of a bad contract. Could you see the Titans being interested in making that move, trading for Tua, taking on some of his contract in order to get another top 100 pick or multiple top 100 picks?
That some part is really the key, because you bring up Osweiler. I think that deal was like, that cost him like $17 million.
Yeah, it was $16 million is that they had to take on. They got a second and a sixth for a fourth. And Brock Osweiler was sent along with that second.
Two is what, $43 million?
Yes, somewhere in there. Close to 45, I think, is a good ballpark.
They got probably like, once the cap elevate, like 120 million?
Yeah, once you cut Snead, once you make a couple other moves, you probably have close to 120.
Then you're going to have to consider those moves of like saving the $7 million by cutting Pollard to $13 million. It would have to be a first. Like, I need a number one.
That's what me and Corey kind of came to yesterday, is like a second round pick isn't worth it. A second and more, maybe. Like, if you got a second and a third, or you think it has to be a one.
$43 million?
Yeah.
That's a third. That once you make moves, that's a third of your cap space.
See, the way I thought about it in terms of your cap space this year, I don't think eating that money affects your ability to spend in free agency all that much. You have so much cap flexibility that you allow yourself, you can do both. If this was a decision the Titans tried to make, I do agree on the skepticism of this, of you have guys you're going to have to extend coming up.
Yeah.
Like, there's money. Peter Skoronski is going to have to get extended soon. Jeffrey Simmons going to have to be extended soon. You hope J.C. Latham and Cam Ward will get extensions in the next few years. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to hamstring your future just for the idea of like, oh, we could, you know, buy ourselves a pick.
And here's the thing. I think this offseason is the time to extend those guys, because you're not going to be facing another extension for a couple of years.
Right.
You know what I mean? So to me, I do that. But, I mean, Tua's cap, his dead cap next year is 31.8.
Yeah. So I guess the idea would be you eat the 45 this year and then you cut him next year for 31. So it would affect your cap for 2 years. But if you got the 11th overall pick from it, and you could end up taking Reuben Bain and Mekhi Lemon or something like that, like, that's something that would at least have to be entertained if you could get the right terms in that deal.
Yeah. Well, look, it has to be the number one pick. That has to be a part of the equation. Otherwise, you know what? You ever see the meme where the guy, he has the flip phone and he hangs it up and he puts it in his pocket, like, kind of like zestily? That would be me. I'd be like,
see,
put it right in my pocket to make up a word, zestily.
And that's what I don't think it's realistic. Mm-hmm. This was an idea floated out there, I believe, by Mike Harmon online. Was just like, hey, the Titans have all this cap flexibility. If anybody needs an extra first round, second round pick, it's probably the Titans right now. Could you make that move? I don't think it's realistic, but I think it is something that at the very least you could entertain if you could get the right terms for it. My thought is, I think the Dolphins would rather just eat the $99 million this year and keep their first round pick. Like, if it came to that, I think if they were given the choice of giving up number 11 and eating $99 million in the cap space, I think they just eat it, because they're going to be horrible this year anyway.
Could you imagine somebody want you to go so bad, they're like, hey, man.
We are going to pay you $100 million to go away.
Yeah, what? Hey, you could dislike me all you want. Shoot, you give me $99,000. Deuces. $9,900. Chase, if you're listening, Chase.
I'll leave for
just kidding.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We can keep this conversation going. There are some thoughts on the text line. Also, Caleb reminds me, there was a development yesterday with a free agent that I wanted to ask TD about. So we'll talk about that coming up next as well. We'll wrap up hour number two. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 the game. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly.
Marching.
Is this 89? Did Parker?
This is 1989.
There we go.
It starts. 1989 is the number. This is from Do the Right Thing. I'll never forget. I'll never forget seeing that movie. I remember I went to Valley Streams in Queens. They had, like, that was the first movie I ever went to where they had security there.
Really?
Because Do the Right Thing was such a polarizing movie that they had to, because I remember sitting in there and I went out, like, I wanted to hurt somebody, man. Because there was a dude in the movie named, it was about life in Brooklyn.
And, like, gotcha.
At that time, there was a lot of racial tension.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like Italians and blacks. Like it was oil and water. You know what I mean? And there was a pizza shop called Sal's in Brooklyn, in Bed-Stuy, in the movie. Right? And I remember one of the characters, Radio Raheem, he used to always carry a radio around. And there was an incident, and the police came, and the police, they choked Radio Raheem out. And, like, everybody, you could hear everybody in the theater, like, like, mad and but that was the theme song to that movie, and so it took me right to that. And Public Enemy, they used to have it was Professor Griff and the S1Ws, and they were kind of like Black Panthers, like that type of crew,
yeah,
so to speak. And in that video, like, they're marching, and it's, oh man, that was what music. And I was just telling my girl last night, because she sent me something that Kendrick, that Chance the Rapper. He was talking about something political in his songs, and I was like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, back in the day, music used to teach you,
yeah,
and used to give you an element of pride. And I mentioned Public Enemy, and here it is. Parker plays it at 10:46, and I'm sitting here with all types of energy going through my body, because that music right there, that fight, the power, that Public Enemy, Fear of a Black Planet. Oh man.
Parker's crushed
dope
it this
music,
hour.
Dope music.
This hour, 3 for 3 from Parker, yeah, has been, it's been great. TD, we're having the conversation about Tua Tagovailoa. And again, I think this is a far-fetched idea of the Titans trading for him to buy a pick. Mm-hmm. Justin from Greenbrier says, if the Titans are going to even consider this, Tua would need to take a pay cut, or the Dolphins would need to eat some of that salary. I do agree that if this was going to happen, it probably ends up the Dolphins would take on some of it. That way they wouldn't have to give up as high of a pick.
Right.
Like, there would be some sort of compromise in there. Again, unrealistic, but if anybody is in position to do it, it's the Titans. And the Titans need more draft capital at the top of the draft. They don't have enough, and this is a way to do it without having to give up draft capital or one of your current players. It's an idea, probably not going to happen, but we're in that part of the offseason in between the Super Bowl and free agency where all of these conspiracy theories can be thrown out there.
Yeah, and that's really this is the time that the rumor mill and just the as some people refer to the lies and the spies, you know, and I think that's what happens. With this, there's so many the off season, right? It's list,
yeah.
It's list time.
It's, like, list
you put
season.
List
yeah.
Out and you put, you know, you throw 50. Ideas out and all the things like that. And that's evidently it's a good one because look, we're talking about it.
Right, right. I think again, far fetched, but maybe not the worst idea in the world. And speaking of list season, we're going to talk about a list coming up at 11 o'clock, an off season list. But Caleb texted and reminded me. I did want to get to this today, and it's funny. He texts in about Wyatt Teller, and I'm a big Wyatt Teller fan. He's a Hokie. But
I remember him coming out. He was a guy.
Yeah, he was a fifth-round pick. Mm-hmm. Went to Buffalo. Things didn't really work out there, and then turned into an all-pro level player in Cleveland a couple years ago.
With?
Bill Callahan. And yes, yeah, so he is going to hit free agency. He released a statement yesterday saying he will not be returning to Cleveland. Maybe not a great look for the Browns now that two players have said publicly, we don't want to come back. But Wyatt Teller going to be out there. And initially, I was going to lead you into, would he be an option to replace Kevin Zeitler at right guard? But then I see this during the break from Daniel Rotman, and it is 2025 pressure rate among right guards. Guess who had the lowest allowed pressure rate in the entire NFL last year?
Teller.
Kevin Zeitler.
Kevin Zeitler.
So I guess I can pose it this way for you. Given the option between bringing back Kevin Zeitler or signing a guy like Wyatt Teller, what would you choose?
I think Zeitler would be less expensive. And Zeitler's been solid, but you had the injury stuff with him. And it's just crazy that an Iron Man like Zeitler ended up missing games the way he did. So if I had to choose between the two, it would be Zeitler. But I don't see anything wrong with Jackson Slater becoming. Now you got another young player on there. He was a fifth-round pick. But if you go back, like, this dude was very, very declarated in college. Like, he was one of the FCS, like, one of their top players.
That was one of those picks that felt like it was universally praised when it was made among draft analysts, Titans fans, of like, oh, man, you just might have drafted a 10-year starting guard late in the draft. Mm-hmm. And that's high expectations for a guy picked in, what, the fifth round?
I think it was picked 167.
So, it's a lot of expectations, and he may not live up to that. But we're going to learn a lot about how the Titans feel about Jackson Slater by what they do in March, mm-hmm. right? If they go bring back Kevin Zeitler or they bring in a Wyatt Teller or somebody of that ilk, it's going to say, all right, Jackson Slater's probably not ready to be your starting right guard. If they maybe just bring in some competition, some depth, I think it shows you that they believe Slater is going to be the guy at right guard in week one.
Yeah, I think that really is the case. And that's interesting. It just hit me. Jackson Slater played for my homie, Brennan Marion, at Sac State. I didn't even, like, make that correlation as far as the years. And I just looked. I said, wait a minute. And he did. But so I'm about to call Brennan.
Yeah, that's a good call.
About that. But you look, Zeitler, how old is Wyatt Teller going to be?
He's 31, I want to say. Let's see. Let's see if he has a market value on SpotTrack. Wyatt Teller. He is going to be, so he is 31. He turns 32 in November. His market value is $10 million. They say 3 years, $30 million.
That's not bad.
For a starting right guard, if you think he's better than Kevin Zeitler and Jackson Slater, you don't believe is going to be the future at right guard, then I wouldn't hate it. Maybe it's my Hokie bias showing.
I wouldn't hate it either at that cost. But there's just something to, for me, like, there's something to having a younger, like, you got young Skoronski, you got young J.C.
Right.
Latham. You got...
You've got the they're kind of the Band-Aids at left tackle and center. Like, Cushenberry and Moore aren't going to be your long-term solutions there, but they give you the flexibility to not have to rush in finding their replacements.
The Jackson Slater one is interesting. He played well in camp. I remember week two was when he really started to...
Yeah.
You were watching him in one-on-ones, you're like, oh... He's taking on Tavondre Sweat's bull rush like that? Okay. And then you see him later in the season, he got some playing time.
He played most of that Jaguars game at the end.
And I think Borgonzi and the crew, they got to really look at that. And that's a tough projection because, you know, again, like he was a very good player, you know, at his level at Sac State. Yeah, he was at the Senior Bowl, and he had a solid outing there. I wouldn't be opposed, honestly. If it were up to me, I'm going to have
roll
him
with Jackson Slater. Yeah.
And then I, you know what I do? I wonder if Tyree Phillips is a free agent.
Maybe he's like tackle, backup guard kind of guy.
Yeah, he's your insurance case.
Right.
That's actually, you know, one of Jeffrey Simmons' his best friends.
Right. I have seen that they work out together. Yeah. So that could be interesting. And how about Jackson Slater's alma mater, Sacramento State, the newest member of the Mid-American Conference, the MAC.
The MAC attack.
Gonna get some Wednesday night MAC football between UMass and Sacramento State starting next year. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. You can text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got one more hour with TD. We'll talk some free agency on the other side. And again, Jack Olengum, Wenintana from Vanderbilt Women's Basketball going to join us at the end of the show. It's an off week for Vanderbilt. They're getting ready for a big nationally televised game on Sunday against Kentucky. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Hour number three coming up here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.